You're listening to Community Radio, CKMS Radio Waterloo, 102.7, 946 on the Rogers Digital Network.
Good morning, Waterloo Region. It's Monday, January the 27th. We have a show mostly made of music today, but also in the studio are the staff from the Social Development Center, Waterloo Region. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning.
We'll be talking to them in just a bit. In the meantime, we're going to be listening to Jean-Paul De Rover, and this is a song called Wreck.
Come on, little runaway, tell me where you're headed. It's like no other,
Started off that set with Jean-Paul Rover and a song called Wreck. Wreck is about the loss of sanity, which is one element tied into the greater theme of loss. On the album Loss, Jean-Paul covers the devastating hardships experienced by his friends and family. Lyrically, the songs are about different types of losses that he's either experienced or been very close to. It's a community-driven piece with layered orchestral elements and a choir featuring artists and people that contributed to Jean-Paul's Indiegogo campaign to support the album, and voices from those that attended the Love album release at the Cambrian Players Theatre in Thunder Bay. Strings are comprised of layers of multiple violin parts performed by Adam Iredale Gray of the Aerialists and Fish and Bird, with additional orchestration and arrangements by Jean-Paul. We followed that with Royal Tusk, who are coming to Maxwell's in Waterloo on March the 5th. They're blue-collar troubadours from the Great White North. Royal Tusk is a steadfast champion of the majesty of kick-ass riffs, meaty hooks, and a thick bottom end and loud guitars. The four-piece band was born in Edmonton, Alberta, and mount a high-octane assault on the lazy security blanket, self-aware irony of hipsters, and a disingenuous commercial pandering of rock posers alike. This is music with meaning, sometimes even a message, that's always built around a powerful vibe and uncompromising passion. Royal Tusk is a deeply soulful celebration, brimming with working-class optimism and tempered by renegade realism. And pretty darn good music, too. In the studio is Angela. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
And Charles.
Good morning.
And Alex.
Morning to you again.
From the Social Development Center in Waterloo Region. Why are you here?
Hi, Bob. We're here to talk a little bit about what we do at the Social Development Center. And here we have Alex, who is our executive director. Alex, can you tell us a little bit about what we do and a little bit more about the Civic Hub?
Thank you. Social Development Center has been around for 5 decades in the region, and we have been known as a Community Information Center, Waterloo Region, for the longest time. We still do some information and referral. We are getting in tune with the new technologies and looking forward to having some of the first mobile apps about information and referral for tenants in the region or financial assistance to seniors and so forth. So even our older programs are growing. We will very soon open volunteer tax clinics as well. So there is some work with individuals and residents in our community. But the bigger part of our mission is bringing people together, grassroots groups, resident groups, allowing for space and support so they can do the important work. And it is gratifying, as Bob may say, therapeutic work that we do as well as people here at CKMS. So we will today hear more from Charles Nichols and yourself, Angela, about supports for that work. And the Civic Hub continues. The Civic Hub grows, which is initiative and our space. We are renting Lower Parish Hall in St. John Church free 4 days a week for small nonprofits, volunteer-led groups, grassroots advocacy groups to not only do their work, but come together and work on issues such as deeply affordable housing. We know it is finally a topic getting at the forefront of everybody's minds, right? So important, important work in that regard. And rooted, as always, in life stories and experiences of people who are directly impacted by some of the issues the community wants to mobilize around.
And can you tell the community whereabouts the St. John's Church is and how they would get involved in the Civic Hub space?
Well, we say Civic Hub is grassroots at the heart of the community, which would place us at the heart of City of Kitchener. St. John Church is at the corner of Water Street North and Duke Street, right next to the City Hall and across the new up-and-running consumption treatment site. So really heart of the community. As of February, we will open 3 days in the space as a drop-in, which means whoever is curious, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, they can come, say hello, meet either our intern staff, associates, or just use, you know, some of the computers and have a quiet time and learn about what is happening in the community.
Thanks, Alex. And just for your awareness, my name is Angela, and I'm a student of Alex. I am from Laurier University, and I am doing my master's in social work. So my placement is with Alex, and at the Social Development Center, I'm helping out with projects that are happening. So the big project that we're looking towards doing is doing live radio content and or podcasts and or videos online that are able to be shared to promote what we're doing. So some of the things that we want to promote is involvement in the conversation around affordable housing. We want to advocate for groups such as our RENT group, our group of disability and human rights, as well as an ALIVE group focusing on low income mostly. And we also are advocating for this space. So building partnerships between these groups and focusing on getting more content into the media and into public awareness so that we can help our goals be accomplished. So, for example, having Charles here putting together a podcast himself that is looking towards tackling big issues like affordable housing. And this is from the experience of someone who has lived it. So, Charles, tell us a little bit more about what you're hoping to do.
Well, I've got two things in mind for this podcast. One is a little bit of the issues that people are advocating about. I've chosen to call this the Advocate's Heart because I'm profiling the people who are doing the advocacy, what makes them tick, what drives them, what is in their heart that they care about our community and trying to make a difference. And hopefully through that, we'll inspire new people, younger people.
Yes.
The one observation I've had over the last too many years is that most of us advocates are getting a little older. We're getting old. So we need to bring up a new generation to carry the torch further.
Yeah, that's right. I can speak from my own experience that a lot of people in our generation, my generation, I should say, being a student, we're not sure where to begin. We don't know what is available to us in terms of advocacy, and maybe you can share a little bit more about what are you seeing and how are people getting involved?
Well, I'm not seeing many young people at the moment. Now, young to me is under 30. I'm well past 50. I graduated university again, class of 2018. And so my classmates were young 20s.
Young, yes.
And they weren't they didn't seem to know who to talk to make change. So that's what I hope will change. It's going to be a long-term effort. It's not going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping through these kinds of discussions that it will happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're at a unique location in terms of students, as the Civic Hub and Social Development Center are right across the road from the Faculty of Social Work, where I'm doing my schooling. We have social justice warriors ready to jump on board. It's just a matter of sharing with them what kind of resources we have, the partnerships and allies in people with lived experience. What do you think is the best way to get involved, get your foot wet in the process, Charles?
In the process of learning to be an advocate?
Yeah.
Start volunteering. One of the messages I try to get across, not just my classmates, but other students, and even in other faculties, get off campus.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not living, you're not learning.
Mm-hmm.
How things happen are not in textbooks. Now, those textbooks are important. You got to do the work the prof assigns, but you need to be in touch, or you'll come out of the school, come out with your degree, and not necessarily be very useful.
That's right. And so as students who may be busy with homework and things that are going on, we all know that there's time in the day. What's 1 hour less of Netflix online and 1 more hour in the community? And I guess that being just get out, volunteer. What options are there to volunteer? I see Alex has something to say here.
The Civic Hub in itself is not purely social development center initiative. It is initiative co-led and supported and created by a number of grassroots and smaller nonprofits in the community, some of them there for a long time. And they're called partners of the Civic Hub. On our website, you can see a list. We have more than 20 partners currently. And those groups, not only, as Charles mentioned, need more younger people and ideas, diversity of ideas supporting their work. They know that there's a lot of work that they cannot actually do. And talking with them, we have organizations from Fair Vote, Waterloo Region, we have KW Peace, we have African Women's Alliance, we have Peace International, Nonviolence, and so forth. There are many organizations, groups, grassroots that would benefit from students, either in groups or individually, working on projects, coming and supporting the work. And that mm-hmm. was the big idea. One of the big ideas behind Civic Hub is closer partnerships with universities and colleges, right, where they would have a very rich ground to collaborate and get plugged in and connected to ongoing projects, ongoing initiatives, and for everybody's benefit, because really we have to start doing different things, right? Mm-hmm. Not same things a bit differently, and that is really important.
Yeah, and being in a community like Kitchener, we can recognize the value of technology as a resource that we have already, and using that kind of leadership we have in the tech field as a platform for talking about affordable housing and maybe even being that leader in innovative ways. What do you have to say about that, Charles?
Well, what I've noticed is that young people, and sometimes very young people, are far more capable with the new tech, with social media especially, than I would be. I've had to learn it. You know, some people just kind of, they grew up with it.
Mm-hmm.
They live on social media to some extent. And that's where younger people who want to make a difference can teach us.
Right.
And can assist us in what we're trying to do. It's a learning curve for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
And what I, the great combination I would see, someone who already grew up with social media and has the heart and the soul to fight and speak up for somebody else.
Right.
And if we find those people, we can change the world.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thanks, Charles.
I'm struck by one very young girl, Greta Thunberg.
Right.
Who doesn't keep quiet for anybody and isn't willing to be silenced because she's young. And if we can find a few more like her, then I'm trusting that we'll leave the world in a pretty... in better hands than it is in now.
Wow, thanks, Charles. Yeah, I agree. I think there are lots of people who would agree with that. We have coming up a song. Is it Atlas of Love by Union Duke?
Yeah. Excellent.
I wanna guess what's on your mind, but I don't wanna talk about it, so we won't waste both of our time. It isn't that I'm shy, or I don't enjoy a little conversation every once in a while. I just don't wanna ruin the surprise.
Atlas of Love, and they sent us an email. It says, "Hi, Radio Waterloo. Please check out Atlas of Love, the latest release from Union Duke. Union Duke are one of Canada's top touring acts. We'd love to be included in your programming. Atlas of Love is the third of four singles we're releasing over 2019. The previous two, La Di Da Da Da, and 1, 2, 3, are included in the press release below. Note, all music links in this email are private sound link links. You have the option to stream the song first, then choose the download. All the best. From Jim McDonald." Yeah, now we're going to get back to our conversation about affordable housing. Alex, do you have anything to share? I know that you have to get going soon.
Well, especially after the housing needs assessment that came out from City of Kitchener in collaboration with the Region of Waterloo and a range of community partners, we have a far wider opening to have that conversation brought to, groups and populations that were not having it on their radar. As we have opened Civic Hub space, a number of lived experience groups in the area of housing, renters' issues, tenants' rights. They started meeting together since November and are coming up with their own suggestions, what would be some out-of-the-box solutions to the crisis that more and more people are facing in the community. Some of members of those groups are also at the City of Kitchener Affordable Housing Advisory, and that is a direct, strong link to the conversations we will be having this year, and hopefully some of the suggestions and guidance from those voices, from lived experience voices, will echo strongly in the process of creation of the strategy. Even more importantly, as we look into so-called quick wins or immediate solutions to lack of emergency housing, shelter supports, lack of transitional housing for a range of needs, people who do not have homes, and those who are precariously housed in unsafe and sanitary conditions but have no money to move, right, anywhere right. else.
And can you just give us an example or two of what we hope that those quick wins are? What is it that we want to see happen soon and happen fast?
It is winter, and it has been started earlier than some of the formal shelters, right, were ready and operational. We know that people are living in the cold, wet, and unsafe conditions. So for when we think of what they would need is to be in a dry, safer, and warmer places with emergency supports, and that can be provided, in their opinion, through repurposing or using, adapting existing public, even commercial spaces, and it would require a lot of supports for the frontline workers to make sure people know about the resources and, more importantly, the ways they're supported once they congregate into those spaces.
Right, and so we've had conversations about this with the public and other community members. Charles, what do you see as being the purpose of these pop-up emergency shelters? Is it needed? Is it something that we see as a possibility?
Well, it's absolutely needed. The basic premise of a shelter is to keep people from dying. Okay, so it sounds real basic, but we want nobody to die of the cold this year. We have an overflow site, or the region runs one, but it itself at times could be overflowing. So we need a second location, and especially for people who might not be safe or feel safe and secure in what exists now.
Right.
We can do this. We have the ability. I'm just trying to figure out why we're not doing it.
Right.
And I need the city and the region to stop making excuses. You don't got to reinvent the wheel. Just go do start somewhere. Start with something. Because doing anything is better than doing nothing.
Right. And Charles and I and Alex were attending a city council meeting a couple of weeks ago, January 13th, where they talked about this citywide strategy to tackle affordable housing. And I, being new to Kitchener, I'm from Hamilton, was trying to catch up with what's going on. And something I heard at the meeting was that there are enough shelter beds. And then I'm hearing other places, you know, they opened on Lancaster Street, that Tim Hortons, that people were filling, people who needed shelter were filling this old closed Tim Hortons. And but why aren't those people at shelters?
Each person probably has a different reason for not going to the shelter. But the bottom line is that there aren't enough room. There aren't enough beds for everybody. And whether a young person or an older adult feels unsafe, they're not going to go to the established traditional shelter setting. So we do need at least
alternatives.
Some new approaches.
Right. And like you said, those are the emergency things that keep people alive. And there are, I'm sure, individuals who may be ready to transition from shelters that have no alternatives either. So we just see that pattern of overfilling the shelters, having overflows that are being shut down, like out of the cold a number of years ago was shut down. The Tim Hortons was shut down because it was too full, ironically, and there's no other options for people who may be, not feel safe at the shelters or feel that because of the addictions that they have are at risk of being going back to those drugs. So there's just a number of reasons why people feel unable to go to the shelters. Alex?
Through the Project Life Stories of Displacement that we made available through podcasts and quotes from interviews, the reason more people would be going to shelters or needing shelter is because of loss of affordable housing units that we have experienced in Kitchener and Waterloo. It was even intensified through the construction of LRT and all the developments that accompany that process. So Life Stories of Displacement have shown us that we have lost hundreds of units that were either in rooming houses, that were low rental units above corner stores, and the corner stores are gone as well. Many of them were bought and then demolished to make space for new development and condo towers, all geared to a completely different demographics. People who are new to the region, exploring the rich tech sector, what it has to offer, with higher incomes that generations of people who lived uptown, downtown, higher incomes, disposable incomes, rent incomes, they are probably going to be coming more and more into the community, and everybody else who was there before, who can no longer afford to live in downtown, uptown, they have to move. They have to go somewhere. In many cases, they cannot move far away. They have nowhere to go. And they have their supports, their community and networks where they used to live. So unless we start creating inexpensive housing, right, not one-bedroom apartment cost $300,000, right, far cheaper solutions out of the box, literally prefabricated out of the box type of housing solutions, we will not, there would be huge pressure growing on shelter beds, right? So one of the solutions coming from lived experience is following the trail of some of creative ways to provide homes from one bedrooms to even, you know, for families, especially as we see that with lack of income, refugee and immigrant families will have less and less to dedicate to rent. We're looking at, well, when we say prefabricating, it could be prepared in advance, nicely looking containers. It could be other types of, you know, modular homes. Again, where to put them? Well, most likely on public lands, right, and parking lots as we start to integrate transportation as well. And Brian Doucette, professor at University of Waterloo we work with, sees enormous potential in combining new ways of working with transportation and housing.
I've heard that seven new apartments, condos, tall buildings are being put up that are taller than any building that has been in Kitchener before. So you can just see that the market is heading towards a higher income. And what is not happening is that the ones that they're replacing are not being built and replaced in any way. Or is it that they're just not along the corridor of the LRT? Do you know about that, Charles?
Well, I haven't looked specifically at the LRT corridor. What I can say is that every square foot that is built on by a condo developer is a plot of land we cannot build rental housing, affordable housing, you know, all of the things that we're trying to argue for.
We could make those developers include affordable housing, supportive housing, subsidized housing, mandate that to come out of the pockets of the developers. It will cause the commercial properties to increase their rents, but that's for people who can already afford rent. You know, right. So those people aren't going to be horribly disadvantaged, like being out in the cold without a home at all. In other jurisdictions, Germany, for example, Finland, they have something like a 30% inclusionary zoning requirement, where 30% of the housing that gets built must be affordable housing. And another 30% has to be subsidized housing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And right here, we're...
You're at about 4%.
Yeah, locally, we're still arguing about the inclusionary zoning.
Yeah, we're arguing about it. And the other problem with the inclusionary zoning here in Ontario is that although the developers are required to have 4%, you know, that's one unit out of a 25-unit building that has to be affordable, but the difference in the rental cost has to be made up by the municipality. So the municipality is actually paying for their inclusionary zoning bylaws. So there's a huge disincentive for the municipalities to make a 30% inclusionary zoning bylaw, because currently they're on the hook for the difference in the affordable rent and the market rent. So, you know, that doesn't happen in other jurisdictions. It just requires a stronger law. It requires legislators to take firm action.
Right. And that's what we'd like to call for. And at the city council meeting, Charles, we saw city councilors listening to what you had to say. What do you think they are going to do moving forward?
I'd love to know. I wish I had a better read on what is happening in their heads.
I understand they've actually got a budget, a permanent budget line item now for affordable housing.
Great.
Which was a result of all the advocacy work that was done a few weeks ago at City Council.
You might notice it's not all that much money.
It's a start. It sets a precedent.
It is better than nothing.
It is.
I'll give it that much.
Yeah. I think about $500,000 in a one-year period, up to a total of $200,000. Okay, so that wasn't what was advocated for by the delegates at City Hall, because it's fortunate.
We cannot forget that there are other levels of government that need to come to the table.
Yeah. Regional, provincial,
federal, all of them,
yeah,
as well as the developers. And as you said, Bob, developers could very affordably for them include more units of affordable housing in their developments.
Yeah.
It
And you don't want to end up with a section of the building being for the poor people. You want this to be integrated housing. You know, the units have to be indistinguishable from the at-market rent units.
That, I agree wholeheartedly.
And accessible.
Yes, accessible. What's the term that that Social Development Center came up with? It is a Trudy Bowl initiative.
There is definitely no step entrance and complete ground unit in terms of multi-store, you know, like townhouses. Yeah. But otherwise, it is something that developers can factor in, and some of them already are, even in low rises. We've heard the development close to auditorium.
Good, good. Shall we listen to some
pop music?
A little love story here. A group called Fetish out of Toronto, and their song, Bubble Tea Boy.
Tapioca. And I'll be on my way. Take your time. Around a one-way street of a slow goodbyes. So we try to forget about the boy dance with Dinah in my ride. Found the tea shop 168 and I couldn't believe my eyes. It was like bubble tea boy, a bubble tea boy. It was my bubble tea boy, my bubble tea boy. Yeah. Hello, it's me again and I have no chance. So before we begin, I like a therapy gelati and I'll be on my way. We're on a one-way street full of slow goodbyes. All right, let's go. I'm longing for some love in my boba oba, boba oba. I'm longing for some love in my boba oba, boba oba. See what's up, you got. And I'll be on my way. Take your time. On a one-way street full of slow goodbyes. Bubble tea boy.
You're listening to CKMS Community Connections on CKMS FM 102.7. My name is Bob Jonkman. In the studio with me are Angela and Charles. We've been talking about housing and other initiatives of the Social Development Center. Looking to recruit some volunteers. We were talking about volunteers earlier, and you wanted to have some volunteers on your podcast, Charles.
Yes. I need people to talk to, people to interview. I have a few lined up. I have contacts in the community. Been doing this FX thing for a while, so run into people, but I know there are people out there who I don't know, and I want to know, and I want listeners to know.
Yes.
So if you're doing advocacy or activism, however you might define it, on any issue, I want to talk to you.
How do you get a hold of you?
Through the Social Development Center. That is the best way. Okay. I'm hoping that my friend over there remembers the phone number, because I don't.
That's Angela.
The phone number. No, I do not. But
phone number's online. So you can go to waterlooregion.org, which is the website for the Social Development Center.
That's right.
You can also go to the Civic Hub website, which is civichubwr.org.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you had that on hand.
Yeah. And in short order, within, I would say, a month, the podcast itself, the initial interviews will be, will hit the streaming waves, whatever you call them now.
Yeah.
And
They're still airwaves,
are they? Okay. Uh-huh. And there'll be a link there. Who does not have a donate button on their website? There will be one. Hmm. And you can give to the Social Development Center as a whole, give to the Civic Hub, you can give to a project.
One of the problems that the community groups have been running into is that there are costs to doing their advocacy, largely venue costs, you know, places to hold a meeting, places to have a presentation, places to show a film about the topic that that they're advocating for. And that all costs money. So everybody in Waterloo Region is very happy that the Civic Hub stepped up to offer some space at no cost to the groups. There is a cost, of course. The church has some overhead costs, and so there there is reimbursement to St. John the Evangelist Church. And that's been nicely covered by a grant from, I think, Heritage Canada.
That sounds correct.
Yeah, too bad. Alex has left the building. She has real work to do. Can't just sit here and schmooze with us on the radio. But she knows all this stuff. At this point, any community group that needs to use a Civic Hub, it's available. So go to civichubwr.org, and you'll see a form right on the front page where you can book some space.
That's right. And as Alex said, you can also pop in 9 to 9, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday to connect to a staff who can give you more information. Mm-hmm. And that, again, is on Water and Duke Street at St. John's Evangelical Church.
Use the Duke Street entrance.
Duke Street entrance, yeah. That's right.
Push the buzzer. To get you in.
That's right.
Yeah. More music?
Yes, great.
Sure. What do you got for us now?
I'm not sure if this is a group or an individual. It goes by the name of Lexicon with two X's from Toronto. A little bit of reggae, dance, hip-hop music. This is a tune called Lucky Lucky.
All the facts on the track, facts on the track, facts on the track.
Top buttons turn on the microphone, and away we go. That's Lexicon from Toronto. I'm not sure if he's coming in for a concert here or not. I hope so. I always like to have people coming into the studio to do live on-air in-studio performances, as well as having interesting people to talk to. Got Angela and Charles from the Social Development Center. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning again. Thanks, Bob. Yeah, we're just wrapping up our last little segment here, and I just wanted to talk a little bit more about what Charles is up to with his podcast beginning called Advocate's Heart. Is that right, Charles?
The Advocate's Heart, right. Yeah. We're profiling the people who have been trying to make change, starting with folks involved in housing, homelessness, poverty, mainly because that's the area that I've operated in for, close to 20 years now that I've been doing homelessness stuff. They're saying signals going around, and I'm blind, so it...
Oh, sorry,
figure
Charles.
Figure that one out, folks.
Sorry, Charles.
Okay. Yeah, blind guy doing sign language.
Sorry, Charles. We're trying to. I'm learning how to work the technical side of radio casting. So sorry.
CKMS Community Connections is not just a show about social justice and advocacy and new Canadian music. It's also a training bed for new volunteers coming into the radio station, so that they can produce their own radio shows, so that they can create the podcasts, have the web pages, and we're doing sort of a bit of everything today.
Yes. Now,
Angela's staffing the board here.
Brand new.
Charles is our content provider, telling us all about housing issues and other initiatives at the Social Development Center.
Yeah, and they have tried to talk me into working the board, and I'm... It is not going to happen, folks.
One of these days. Oh, sorry, sir. I've interrupted you, Charles.
Because I've been involved with homelessness, and that's where I got my start. Originally, it was Social Planning Council, and our late... Executive Director Trudy Bone, who gave me a chance to work on a project dealing with the homelessness community plan, that I started to find my own voice. And over the course of years, I've kind of, what makes me tick, kind of questions going on, and now I get to talk with others and find out, how did they start? Why did they start? And what drives them. I think they're going to be very interesting discussions. And I can't wait for them to be, for this to happen. It's been a while developing it.
I agree, Charles. And I think that could be very empowering for somebody looking to get into advocacy work and trying to get a sense of why do it. What's the purpose? What's the result? And I think, as Bob said, when we did get a budget line for affordable housing on the budget for city, that shows that advocacy can work, and that's what we want to show, that people are contributing to what goes on here in the community of Kitchener.
Yeah, a little over 10 years ago, I started something called Homelessness Awareness Week. We're wrapping up, and it came down to, if not me, then who?
Yes.
Exactly. Somebody's got to do the work, and I'm a somebody.
That's right.
Yeah.
We all are.
Yep.
Let's leave the end of the show here with a couple of nice folk tunes. We'll start with 100 Mile House and Worth the Wait, and if there's enough time, we'll listen to Logan and Nathan with Lonely.
Waiting for that day to come. The war was lost, no battles won. Waiting for the cavalry. We found the strength for one more round. This old sluggery ain't going down. One more shot at making it. I wondered if we'd ever meet. Took your time, but your mom and me, we don't mind, you were so late. You were worth the wait. Hope you get to spend your time meeting this world with your heart open wide, despite the being it might take. I hope you never feel the burn that I need something in return. It's all unconditional. I hope you get to fall in love. Feel that moment when they're gone, someone irreplaceable, like that woman you called home. I wondered if we'd ever meet. You took your time, but your mom and me, we don't mind, you were so right. You were worth the wait.
This has been CKMS Community Connections. My name is Bob Jonquin. CKMS Community Connections is produced in the studios of Radio Waterloo in Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. We're a community radio station with programming produced by the community, for the community, and about the community. You can read the show notes at radiowaterloo.ca/ccc and read the music list, hear past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast. Our executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Contributing producers are Jordan Dorans, Jeff Stager, and Dylan Bravener. CKMS Community Connections is sponsored by Radio Waterloo and airs every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon and also on Fridays from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. The cat's the dog, your mama.